The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up the mountain on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Now on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him. All at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. All were astounded at the greatness of God. So when I was a chaplain at a hospital in Chicago, I was at a teaching hospital, which means that this is where doctors and nurses and residents and all sorts of techs and things would come for school. And the hospital had a great tradition of teaching, Rush Memorial Hospital in Chicago. And one of the exercises that the chaplains had to do with the residents, now you know residents, they've come spick and span out of medical school, they're ready, they're precise, they've got themselves diagnosed with about 100 diseases, right? They've gone through that phase. So the residents and the chaplains always get together for a workshop about halfway through the quarter. And what we're supposed to do as chaplains is we're supposed to do a little role-playing. And in this little role-playing exercise, for which the residents will be graded, we are supposed to pretend to be the family of someone who the resident has just treated for a disease or whatever, in the ICU, let's say. And the resident is supposed to practice coming in and telling us as family that their loved one has died. And they're supposed to use that word, died, or dead, or deceased. But sure enough, one by one, the residents would come in, and God bless these residents, they were trying so hard. They'd come in, and they're shaking, and they'd say, "Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I have to inform you that your loved one has moved along." We'd say, "Eh!" And then they'd say, "Oh, I have to inform you that your loved one is in a better place." "Your loved one is no longer with us." So the chaplains were the ones that had to do this. Why? Because usually the doctors come get us when it's time to go in with a family. And we know that if you use imprecise language like your loved one has moved on to a better place, the family's question is going to be, where? What floor? Right? They're going to say, oh, great, they're in rehab now. Oh, great. That imprecise language, which the doctors of all people should be great at, is not good in that setting. And so we have to practice confronting this reality of, yes, we'll say it, death. This is not a word that we like to speak aloud. And God bless the residents, I'm picking on them. It's not just residents in a hospital who don't want to speak that word death. It's almost like, anybody here like Harry Potter? It's like Voldemort, right? Nobody likes saying this. That thing that should not be named, right? They're in a better place. Go into a Hallmark store and I challenge you to find the word death in a grief section. You will not. You will find everything but that word. So today, we meet Jesus and James, John, Peter. We meet them on the mountaintop. And the lesson begins with Jesus, or with our narrator telling, after Jesus had completed these sayings. Well, the sayings that Jesus has just completed are him telling these same disciples, I will go to Jerusalem. I will be handed over to the authorities. They will kill me. They will murder me. I will die, and then I will rise again. And it's painful. The disciples don't like hearing this, just like we don't like hearing this. Like, Voldemort, no, don't say that word. And then they get to the top of the mountain, and you might think that Jesus or the narrator is engaging in this kind of euphemistic language about God, because after these sayings, they went up and Jesus is talking to Elijah and Moses about his departure, which will take place in Jerusalem. And you might think, well, wait a second, his departure, that's some euphemistic language about what's going to happen. Why isn't he saying it? Well, what's really fascinating about this word departure is that the word departure in Greek is exodus. They were talking, Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah about his exodus, which he would accomplish in Jerusalem. Remember, Exodus is that story about God bringing the people out of slavery and into liberation. It's the story of being in captivity and God delivering us into life. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection is the story of Exodus. It's the story of liberation. It's the story of our liberation from that fear of death. A fear that is so palpable that we can't even speak the words. Let them come out of our mouths most times. So there on the mountaintop, Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah about his exodus. So this week, on Friday, you probably all received an email from the congregation, reminding the congregation members that y'all were invited to go to Stephanie Jordan's house because her beloved Larry passed away. He died 3 weeks ago now, right, Stephanie? And Stephanie was inviting us over because what happens after you're married to somebody for 45 years and living in a house for, what, 30 years? You got a lot of stuff, right? And they had a big house. And Stephanie's got to move out. And so she invited the congregation to come over and take some stuff, right? So I needed some garden things. So I raided Larry's gardening materials. Thanks, Stephanie. And I arrived a few minutes early because I suspected, well, gosh, I bet Stephanie and her daughter Kimberly are going to be in there. And maybe they need an extra hand or two. And I bet they're running around. So I come in, I knock on the door, and I didn't get an answer. And then I kind of listen and I hear like the house is like full of noise. Like that can't just be Stephanie and Kimberly moving around. And I open the door and it is filled, chock full of members of Shepherd of the Valley helping her pull things out of the cupboards and put them onto tables. And they're getting things out and they're sorting things and they're putting around. And Stephanie is moving around, giving some directions. And it was just like, ah, here's the transfiguration story. Into the reality of death come the people of God. Come with bright, shining faces. And so I'm talking to Stephanie, and we go into the kitchen, and Pat is there, and Pat says, Pastor, you reach up there. I need to get some of these things out of the cupboard. We got to bring them out. We got to put them on a table. So I'm pulling some things out, and I don't know about you. I don't have any dusty places in my house, but I pulled something out, and it was dusty. And Stephanie said, oh, this is so embarrassing. And Pat, in the only way that Pat could do, said, oh, now, honey, you be quiet. She said, honey, if you open one drawer at my house, you're going to see it overflowing with dust bunnies. So you just be quiet. You're great. We love you, Stephanie. We're here. Paul talks about this radiance, this glory of God, that in encountering Jesus, that we are transformed into mirrors of God's love. That's what I saw when I came into Stephanie's house, is all of these radiant mirrors of God's love piercing the darkness of death with the joy, with the exodus, with the liberation of God's resurrection. So I walked outside, and Stephanie and I were chatting, and I said, Stephanie, I'm supposed to be writing a sermon right now. I was going to pop in for a couple minutes and leave. It's 2 hours later. I said, I think you're going to make an appearance in my sermon. Would that be okay? And no sooner had I done that than she just reached across. She pulled me close, and she gave me a big kiss on the cheek. And I was thinking about that afterwards. I think it's because Stephanie saw exactly what I saw that day, which was the radiance of Christ, the radiant love of God's resurrection. There in the darkness, there in the place of death, the people of God mirroring Christ's exodus back at her. That we don't have to be people who are afraid of death. We can say it, our beloved Larry has died. But the people of God, we have been released from the fear of death, and so we go. We say, oh, honey, don't you worry about those dust bunnies. I got them too. We help our friends. And there in the darkness, we become mirrors of God's love, the tenderness of God for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.